Hey everyone, this is Derek Brose with the Conscious Resistance Network, and today we are going to be talking about the importance and the power and the need of confronting members of the political and intellectual class. For those who are watching on screen, you see the lovely face of Hillary Clinton there. We're going to be talking about her and much more. And really, this is going to be kind of my appeal to anybody out there who remembers the good old days in the early 2010s and even the mid-2010s, where there were people like Alex Jones and others that we're going to talk about confronting politicians and liars and propagandists and media people, and how we need this. We need more of this. I wish there was more of this. And so we're going to talk about all that and more. But first off, I want to remind you guys to bookmark my website, theconsciousresistance.com. Guys, this is where you can find everything that I've produced for the last decade plus. We've been running this website since 2013, so going on 10 years here. And then even content I was producing before this, you can find articles, you can find video interviews, documentaries, you can check out my books, you can learn more about the philosophy of agorism and counter economics, which is all about building parallel societies. You can listen to all of my presentations and speeches I've given over the last 10 years, and everything's even broken up by category. You can check that out. Highly recommend you bookmark theconsciousresistance.com, sign up for our email newsletter, and visit us once a week to make sure you're getting all of the latest content. Now, the other thing I want to mention is, of course, for those who don't know, I'm a writer at thelastamericanvagabond.com. This is my author page. I'll link it below. And this is where all of the articles that I write for TLAV get posted. And again, if you're not following TLAV regularly, and specifically my article page, or following me on social media, you're going to miss a lot of the content I produce. Right now, Ryan is putting out daily content, just exposing the lies and the narrative and the propaganda around the Israeli situation. But I'm also writing articles focused on other topics. And so my most recent article, Who Owns Your Children? The Government Keeps Acting Like It Does. You're going to want to check out that one. I might do a video. Before that, I wrote yet another study, links lower sperm count with pesticides. Very important if you haven't read that. I encourage you to read it. And then going back another week or so, politicians and tech CEOs are calling for regulation of artificial intelligence. Can the public trust them? And I don't know if you've seen those articles, but those are my most recent. And then before that, of course, this one here, The Power of Confronting Members of the Political Class, which is what we're going to focus on today. Now, as always, when I go over my articles, I'm not going to sit here and just read it to you, because my hope, my goal is that you would read it yourself and go make the time and the energy and the effort to do the reading and to learn what I'm discussing here. But as the title indicates, it's time to revive the time-honored tradition of confronting members of the political and intellectual class. And I start out by telling folks about this. In last month, October 27th, former Secretary of State, former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, she came to Houston, Texas, right before the November 7th election. There's a mayoral election and city council election. Some of you guys remember I was running for mayor. Well, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, member of the Democratic Party, total shill for all the different issues that people here on this channel are going to be awake to. She was hosting a rally, and Hillary Clinton showed up to endorse her publicly and to try to get her to support her. And side note, it's funny that, you know, Hillary Clinton, this allegedly well-loved, big-known politician, comes to Houston, a city of 4 million people, during a mayoral race, and only, I would estimate, 250 people were there, if that. I mean, maybe at 300 at most, but nowhere near the thousands or so that you might expect or that they might want you to believe. So you've got a 30-year career politician in Sheila Jackson Lee. You've got a former Secretary of State slash former First Lady coming to Houston, and there was other local politicians, and they could barely pull 250 people together. And while I was there and I was filming, you know, my goal was to ask my own questions, but I also noticed that the activist, Houston activist Alex Rosen, that he was there, and Alex actually interrupted the proceedings, the questioning, the rally, and he stood up and said, "Hillary, why did your husband go to Epstein Island 26 times?" And of course, before he could do anything, he was immediately confronted by angry members of Sheila Jackson Lee's campaign staff and eventually security guards. And I've actually shared this on all my channels. For those of you who haven't seen it, let's go ahead and just watch this clip right now.
Why'd your husband go to Epstein Island?
Yeah. Is this really necessary, guys? Is this really necessary? Is this really necessary, sir? Hey, is this necessary, officer? You guys are dragging a grown man out. Is this necessary? Seriously, come on. Hey, is this necessary, guys?
Get out.
Don't hit me, man. You guys are dragging somebody out.
You're not welcome. Private event.
Well, whoever you are, sir, I got the whole thing on camera. This officer dragging you out.
Appreciate it.
And that one guy kicked you, too. I got that on camera.
Is he an actual officer or is he just there? Doesn't matter.
No, he's not an officer. He's a security guard. He's a security guard.
Security. I almost peed on myself. Where's the bathroom?
If you decide
so why do you guys support like just endless government spending? I mean, she's giving more money to white people in Ukraine than you freaking idiots in Houston.
There you go. You can kind of see it there. And that video, I filmed it, and Alex Rosen put it on his Twitter, and it did go fairly viral, I will say. It had been seen. Let's just check, actually. I haven't seen since I first posted it. How many times has this video been seen at this point? 4.9 million times. And you can see he shouts me out here for filming it. So I filmed that incident, and that gave me this idea to write about this whole thing and to discuss, like, you know, should we confront politicians? Now, the interesting thing is Alex Rosen's also known for questioning Peter Hotez. He went and questioned him at this vaccine symposium, which I believe some of you may have seen this. This is when Alex was at the vaccine symposium, and this old dude actually tried to choke him. Here, we'll watch this one real quick.
So when you hear of, you know,
Ma'am, I have a question. So Pfizer has the biggest criminal fine in history. So how is it not anti-science to not trust them? If they're on record bribing physicians and fudging with test results, $2.3 billion fine. So how is it anti-science to simply question them? Can you explain that, please?
So I appreciate your comment. I'd like to finish my presentation, and you can hold your questions.
I mean, it's not going to be answered. I have four questions.
Hey,
I have four questions that didn't get answered. What the hell
are you
doing?
No, please.
Oh, my God. You're right.
And so that old guy goes flying, which, I mean, he attacked Alex. I think Alex is in the correct. That guy tried to choke him. And then Alex also showed up outside of Hotez's house a few months back. Some of you guys might have seen that one as well. Here, I'll pull that clip up real quick so you can see it. And my point is, all of this just gets me to the point of, like, what the heck happened to the people who used to confront politicians? And, you know, yes, Hotez isn't a person, but, I mean, isn't a politician. He's a person. But he's a member of the intellectual class who's out there spreading propaganda and lying. And so Alex comes and confronts him and says, why won't you confront or why won't you debate RFK? And then he freaks out and runs away. Now, of course, being at his house, some people don't like that. They thought that was a step too far. But the point is, and the point of this article and this video is to confront or not. Now, as I make the point here, Alex's tactics tend to be very divisive. I was in attendance at the Sheila Jackson Lee event to question Hillary Clinton as well, but my approach was a more typical journalistic one, i.e. I was going to patiently wait to see if there'd be time for questions. And once it became clear that there would be no photo ops or press time, which more than likely was a response to Alex Rosen's interruption, I hurried out the building and I ran around the back to see if I could catch Hillary as she entered her motorcade, and I was unable to do so. So in the end, he got the video, but he didn't get the question answered. He just shouted out something crazy. And then, you know, I don't even think most people even heard his question. And then, side note, Bill Clinton reportedly made 26 trips on Epstein's planes, but there's no record of him going to the island, just to be clear. So if people who care about facts. Now, I've also done this kind of confrontational type thing before. And sometimes it's like the way I see it and the way I've taught it, like in my journalism course, for example, that you can find on TCRU on our website. I've taught that you usually have a few different interviews. You have a friendly sit-down interview, and that's when somebody is going to sit down with you face-to-face and take your questions. And maybe you guys are friends, or at least you agree on a lot of things. So there's not going to be too much animosity. And then you have kind of friendly on-the-go interviews where somebody's like, I got to run. And you're like, okay, that's fine. Can I just walk with you and ask a couple questions? Or you're in the middle of a street. Like a month or two ago, I interviewed RFK Jr., downtown Austin. I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of questions or a lot of time with him, but it was a friendly interview and it was kind of on the go. Then you have unfriendly sit-down interviews. Those are going to be sit-down interviews where somebody does actually grant you an interview, but more than likely you guys aren't going to get along and you're going to ask some hard questions and they might not like it. And then you have the unfriendly on the go, and that's when somebody is definitely not going to like your questions and you got to do it fast because they're in a hurry or they're trying to get away from you. Now, in the case of my first interview with Peter Hotez, Dr. Peter Hotez, vaccine propagandist, I actually did get a, not a sit down, we were standing, but a friendly interview where he stood for, how long was this? I think it was like 7 or 8 minutes, 10 minutes with me, and answered my questions. And I did, he tried to, you know, slip away in the end. He said, oh, it's hot out here, I need to go. But I was able to ask him hard questions. Now, of course, shortly after that, I wanted to go ask Hotez again. But this time, Hotez was, you know, he knows who I am now. So he was not interested in talking to me. And this second time, it was more of that kind of unfriendly on-the-go interview. And so check this one out if you haven't seen it.
Dr. Hotez, do you have a moment to follow up with my question the other day? Since we're not in the sun, maybe
just wrap up. No, I don't think so. I think we're done.
Yeah, you don't want to follow up with... We were talking about VAERS and the vaccine reporting database. So if families who are suffering with long vax, should they report to VAERS?
Excuse me, I'm having an event.
Okay, yes. I understand.
You can wait outside.
He's a public person, so I figured I was just going to ask him a question. Because he likes to go on TV and talk about censoring people and banning and deplatforming people. You've made yourself a public person now, Mr. Hotez, by the way.
Please wait outside.
You're now a public person, so...
Please wait outside. Thank you.
You have to answer for your statements. Just saying.
So, real short... To the point, obviously, like, I don't expect him to, you know, you're right, Derek, and have this long thought out conversation with me. But that's where it's at. Sometimes you got to do it. And then, you know, some of you may remember this. I confronted John Brennan. Actually, it's been a year now. So former CIA director John Brennan, as I wrote here, I contemplated interrupting the event and loudly calling out John Brennan for his crimes. But instead, I opted against this because the 250 people in attendance, including high school students, were largely, if not completely, in Brennan's fan club. Instead, I waited till the event was over and I walked right up to John Brennan as he walked towards the elevators. And that's when I got my confrontation, which if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend watching it. Let me see if we got a little clip of it here. Let me just see if we can jump to that. All right, well, it's freezing up a little bit, but if anybody wants to see it, you can go back and see it. This was from a year ago when I confronted John Brennan, and I wrote a whole article about it. I confronted former CIA director John Brennan. Here's why. So I've been doing this for a while now, doing this. I also, some of you may remember, I questioned former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. That was this year in April in Austin, Texas, about her Young Global Leader World Economic Forum connection. And I wish I would have had more time because I would have questioned her about the CFR, PSYOPs, and so much more. But my point is, this is something I try to do. And sometimes you have to confront people with, you know, when these are people responsible for war crimes. You have to go out there. You have to be loud. You got to get in their face. I'm not advocating violence, but gosh dang, you got to get out there and try. And as I wrote here, when I first began my activist journey in late 2009, left-wing activists were anti-war and wanted nothing more than to hold George W. Bush accountable for his post-9/11 war crimes. Anywhere and everywhere Bush went, there was likely to be a protest presence. Over the years, as former President Obama's constitutionalist peacenik mask was ripped off to reveal Bush 2.0, activists began confronting him at public speeches. In fact, mostly defunct websites like War Criminal Watch used to regularly detail upcoming public events by the Bush and Obama administrations. And one of the first people to really popularize this in the age of YouTube, again, not the first person to ever do this, Alex Jones was doing it, but it was really Luke Rutkowski of We Are Change who made it a big thing post 9/11. Him and the We Are Change activists in New York City were confronting the various government officials involved in the 9/11 recovery, including mayors Rudy Giuliani and Michael Bloomberg. And then different members of We Are Change started confronting politicians all around the world, including members of the Rothschild family and so many others. And they surely inspired countless young activists and citizen journalists to do the same. And I count myself among those people who were inspired into action. And now here we are in 2020, and there's really not a lot of people doing this. I mean, Alex Rosen is kind of a troll. Some people don't like his style because he does tend to lean more conservative and right wing, but he's still doing important work. And the interesting thing is only days after days before Alex Rosen interrupted Hillary Clinton, she was confronted by anti-war activists at Columbia University, which Robert Castle and Simon E. Miller, they confronted her with questions about funding for the wars in Ukraine and Israel. That was seen more than 100,000 times. And on top of that, then a couple days later, hundreds of students walked out of a two-hour lecture by Clinton. So obviously people do have an interest in this, and it seems like it's still growing, but I want to read you this last section of this article. What I wrote here was, clearly the confrontations, questions, and protests can have an impact, not only on the news cycle, but also on the world around us. This may seem obvious, but it bears repeating. Your actions can influence the world around you in a positive way. We are not doomed to more war, more surveillance, invasion of civil liberties, and economic enslavement. I encourage those who are interested in confronting the Clintons, Trumps, and Obamas of the world to sign up for email lists of universities, nonprofits, and NGOs, which organize lectures, presentations, and gala events where criminals are presidents, or where are present. This is typically how I learn of upcoming events featuring the likes of Henry Kissinger or Peter Hotez. And if we choose to step up and be active participants in the world around us, we can, and we will, plant seeds in the minds and hearts of our friends and family. If we refuse to stand by idly while individuals in positions of influence spread lies, promote war and death, and actively work to strip us of our liberties, we can call them out directly. Most importantly, when we confront and challenge these wannabe tyrants to their faces, it shatters the illusion that they are all powerful. It destroys the assumption that we are destined to live our lives as pawns and their games liars and thieves play. No, when humanity rises, when we choose to claim our power and loudly shout, "I will not go in silence, I will not allow your crimes to persist without taking a stand," we are keeping the spirit of liberty and justice for all people alive. And I want to show you just another few examples. I mentioned the Tulsi Gabbard thing. Back in 2015, I confronted Rand Paul about Israel and his support of Israel then. You can see that's my old look, my dreadhawk there. You can see I confronted George W. Bush also back in 2015 using a hidden camera pen. It was a very brief interaction. There's kind of a freeze frame of his dumb look on his face before Secret Service shuffled me out. Back in March 8th, 2013, so 10 years ago, myself and some other Houston Freethinker activists, there you can see young Derek Bros, I would have been 28 right then, confront his Henry Kissinger driving in. Let me see if we can get the freeze frame. He's in that back seat. It's kind of hard to see. And they almost run me over while I'm confronting them and yelling at them and calling them a war criminal. There you can see them getting Kissinger out of the car while these people just kind of laugh at us and look at us like we're crazy. We confronted him. I've confronted George Bush, Henry Kissinger, CIA Director John Brennan, Rand Paul, Tulsi Gabbard, local politicians like my local mayor and police chief. And I've questioned Trump very briefly one time. It's on my website. It's not even really worth sharing. It's just like yelling at him from across the room. And I'm sure there will be more examples. But I just want to invite anybody out there who has the energy, the time, the desire to, if you see these people come into your town, your city, don't let them come without a protest, without a rally, without a sign being held, without a hard question being asked. We cannot allow these people to think that they can just continue to exist in our world and never be confronted for their crimes and for their lies. I refuse to accept it. So, you know, anytime Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Henry Kissinger, or any of these other criminals try to come to Houston or Morelia or wherever I live, I will be there to try to confront them and to question them and to do the job of the real media. And I want to invite you guys to do the same. Let's bring back this tradition of confronting war criminals. Let's do it, guys. You can do it. You can be a part. So I invite you to read this article and share it with your friends. I'll link it below. I'll also link a few of these other confrontations I mentioned if you guys want to check that out. And that's where we're going to leave it for today. If you would like to support my work, please bookmark theconsciousresistance.com. You can find me over at buymeacoffee.com/Derek Bros to sign up for monthly support however you like. You can also support me at derekbros.substack.com if you want to support over there, if that's preferable to you. And thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you take this message and you really take it into your heart and your mind, and collectively come together to confront the liars and thieves and murderers and propagandists and stand for what's right. Because if we don't, then nobody else will. Thank you guys for listening. Until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.